following message is from New Life Gillette series, Behind Enemy Lines. This week, Pastor Mike presents part 5 of this series.
Hey, let me say welcome to those of you who are watching online. I hear there's a lot of you today, a lot of sick people, so get better. To the guys over at the prison, to our friends at the jail, and those of you who are here in the room. We are in a series called Behind Enemy Lines. We're walking through the story of Daniel and the book of Daniel. And from the very beginning of the book, you can see that a theme of the book is worship. So today, I just want to spend the whole time talking about worship. Then we're going to do some more singing later. And it's because Daniel was in a place where the world was demanding his worship. They wanted to steal Daniel's loyalty. The world wanted him to worship them, and he wanted to worship God. And the whole book is just this constant tension between those two powers. People in Daniel's time, I think, understood something that we don't understand. I think they understood that we were created to worship. You were created to worship. Specifically, you were created to worship God. He knit you together in your mother's womb to worship him. The problem is that that's not always how it plays out, right? Like sometimes we worship other things. Often the things that we were created to do get perverted. We were created to do something and we take it too far. We were created to do something and we lose focus. The desire to do what we should do runs out of control and we end up using that desire to do something that we shouldn't do. For example, food. You know, you have a desire to eat. God put that desire in you. It's a good desire. It's a good thing to eat. Otherwise, you would die. So it's a good desire. But sometimes the desire runs out of control, right? But we eat too often, or we eat too much, or we eat the wrong things. Good desire taken to unhealthy places. What about the desire for sex? Anybody think it's a good desire? I think it's a very good desire. You wouldn't be here if your parents did not have that desire. But we took it too far, right? We pervert it. We allow our desires to control us. We remove boundaries. We remove anything that keeps us from going too far. We elevate liberty over responsibility. Can I say that again? We elevate liberty over responsibility like we do in so many areas of our lives. Liberty is a good thing, but it can't take precedence over responsibility. And we lose control. What about athletics? Exercise, teamwork, sacrificing for each other, being healthy. That's all very good stuff. It is very good. But I know one countercultural family who has a bunch of kids that are just in every single sport, but they have decided to make a crazy countercultural commitment to come to church. Sports world doesn't like this too much, especially when my Chiefs are playing during the second service, and it's really frustrating. And this family has decided that if the sports teams are playing on the weekend, they will be home in time to make it to church on Sunday morning. Yeah, they're nuts. They've decided that if the tournament or whatever they're traveling to keeps them from going to church, they're going to go to church instead. Super countercultural, crazy, crazy thing to do. But they've decided that their faith is more important than their sports teams. What about work? Work's a good thing. The desire to work is a very good thing. But many of us become workaholics. And work takes precedent over just about everything. Are we more likely to skip church or to skip work? See, the desire to worship is a good thing. It was put in you. God put it there. But we are often tempted to worship things or to worship people or to worship circumstances, and it goes out of control. Scripture calls these things that we are tempted to worship idols. Or these activities that we're tempted to worship, they're idols. In Babylon, Daniel worked very hard to resist idol worship. And it was totally countercultural. Everybody else is worshiping the idols just blatantly. This is what we do. This is our culture. We just worship the idols. But Daniel said, no, I will put God before everything else. It's the same situation we are in today. Maybe not quite so much pressure, and maybe the consequences for not following is not death like it was for Daniel, but we are tempted to do the same thing. You know, I did some marketing education when I was younger, and marketers are trained to take advantage of your desire to worship. They use a little bit different terminology, but they are trained that if they can tap into your desire to worship, then they can convince you to buy their stuff. They can convince you to do whatever it is that they want you to do. And how do they convince us? They convince us by appealing to pleasure. They've learned that the most effective idol is yourself, you. If they can make you want something, if they can make you, you'll have this feeling, you'll have this emotion, you'll have this if you have whatever it is we're selling to you. So they sell to you pleasure. They sell to you worship of self. So we were trained in school, don't try to sell a car, you sell a feeling. So in other words, you watch a car commercial and there's a beautiful model driving this car down the road to Hana, and it's just like everything is beautiful. And you're like, if I own this car, then glory will rise for me and I will look like this amazing model and great. And we attach to the emotion that we assume that the model on the commercial is feeling. So we're not buying the car, we're buying the emotion. We're buying the feeling. I want that, whatever they have. Have you ever watched those medicine commercials? There's like these beautiful people prancing through meadows because they took this medicine. And then there's like a 5-minute, but if you take this, you'll die. Like, you just got to get that out there. They don't sell you a politician because it's just a person. What do they sell you? They sell you fear. If you don't elect this politician, then that other evil person will do these terrible things. They don't sell you a politician. They sell you anger at your current circumstances. Don't you hate paying so much taxes? Those rich people don't have to. They sell you fear and anger or whatever it is that happens to get you to elect the person that they want you to elect. Why? They're appealing to your desire to worship and pointing it to self, worshiping self. Well, the problem is worship of self is the opposite of worship of God. Worship of self is the opposite of worship of God. You know how I know Paul said it? Paul said, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Give your bodies. He's about to say, if you really want to know how to worship, you got to learn how to surrender. Not worship self, but give up self. Self-sacrifice. It's what Jesus did for us. And he says, this is what's best for you. If you want to be like Christ, you have to learn how to sacrifice. He doesn't ask us to sacrifice because he wants us to be miserable. He asks us to sacrifice because he knows what's best for us. And he knows that if all you do is pursue pleasure, you will have none of it. If all you do is pursue the gratification of the desires that you have, then you're going to walk down a road and you're going to realize there is actually nothing good at the end of the road when all you are doing is pursuing pleasure. All you will find is misery. If you truly want to find joy, if you truly want to find peace and hope, the only thing you can do is sacrifice. They will lead you to the peace that passes understanding. They will give you the hope that the world is so desperate for. He says this, let your bodies be a living and holy sacrifice. A holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. Does anybody feel like a holy sacrifice when you're worshiping? Do you know God made you holy? This morning, as we're singing worship to God, God cleansed you of your sins. He made you holy, and you are a holy sacrifice to God. That's why we raise our hands. Surrender. I'm surrendering to you, God. A holy sacrifice. When we're tempted to worship ourselves, when we're tempted to worship pleasure, then we give ourselves to God. We go the opposite direction. I'm not going to go after the pleasure that I'm tempted to pursue. I'm going to give myself to God, and we surrender to him. That's what worship is. Paul says that this is truly the way to worship him. That's how you do it. Surrender. Paul says, give your bodies to God. Often we think that of that as just like a spiritual act, right? No, he's saying bodies, physical. We think worship is just something that happens in the non-physical world and the spiritual world. He says, no, you should. This is a physical act. This is why we raise our hands in worship, to physically show that we are giving our bodies. Somebody holds a gun to your head, what do you do? Surrender. Don't shoot. This is raising our hands. Now, raising your hand is not some, you're going to go to hell if you don't raise your hand, or you're not worshiping if you don't raise your hand. But it's another way, just like generosity, just like any other way we surrender, this is another way that we show God, I worship you. In every place of worship, I want men to pray with holy hands lifted up to God, free from anger and controversy. Remember when Daniel prayed? We read about it last week. Daniel prayed and he physically kneeled on the ground. Like he got down and he kneeled on the ground, not metaphorically, not mentally kneeled, 3 times a day. Next slide. 3 times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed. Lately, I've been doing this. I wake up every single morning and I kneel down at a chair and I do it just for a few seconds. But we've got these hard floors, these hardwood floors, and I kneel down on this and I'm like, couldn't I just sit up in the chair? Like, why do I have to do this weird thing? Let me tell you what it's done for me. It's changed my mind a little bit. It's gotten me to a place when I'm tempted to focus on self, to remind myself that as I go throughout my day, as I live my life, I am surrendering to God. I am on my knees worshiping God. Have you ever noticed that it's when you're sitting down that you're most tempted? When you're on your knees, it's kind of hard to get sidetracked and forget what you're doing. You know what you're doing. You're on your knees. When you're sitting down, you're tempted to wander in your mind. Or it's when I'm sitting down that I'm tempted to watch things I shouldn't watch. When I'm sitting down, it's when I'm tempted to eat something or more than what I should. When I'm sitting down is when I'm tempted to be lazy. So I get on my knees, a physical act of surrender. And Daniel, as he's on his knees, is giving thanks to God in terrible circumstances, just as he had done before. Okay, now I need to clarify what I'm not saying. None of this is going to make God love you more. You can't worship good enough. You can't raise your hands enough or kneel down enough or whatever. You can't do anything enough to earn God's love, to earn any favor from God, because he can't love you any more than he already does. While you were still sinning, he loved you an infinite amount. We can't love like God. We're not perfect. We're not holy enough to love like God loves while you are still sinning. So the reason we worship is not to earn God's love. The reason we worship is because his love is unconditional. It's us saying thank you for your love, not earning your love. That's why we worship him. Paul says we are confident of all this because of our great trust in God through Christ. If you find somebody who is completely confident that they are saved by God, not by their own actions, that God is so loving that he would even forgive them, then look at their posture and you will find somebody who lives a life in a posture of gratitude, thankful to God for what he has done. Daniel's home has been destroyed. He's been castrated. He's been imprisoned and forced to do all kinds of crazy things. And still, he's on his knees worshiping God. It is not that we think we are qualified to do anything on our own. Our qualifications come from God. He has enabled us to be ministers of his new covenant. This is a covenant not of written laws. You can't be good enough. You're not going to do the right things, but of the Spirit. The old written covenant ends in death. Laws, rules, being good ends in death. But under the new covenant, the Spirit gives life. It is a gift. The Spirit gives life, and we say thank you. So we're going to read Daniel's prayer. Daniel, in his circumstances, is worshiping. A lot of times we skip over Daniel chapter 9 because it's just a prayer, kind of boring, move on, No, remember Daniel's situation as you read this. Give ear, our God, and hear. Open your eyes and see the desolation of the city that bears your name. You know, you bear God's name. You are a Christian, Christ follower, Christ one. You bear the name of Christ. You are his child. God gave you mercy over and over again. You know, Daniel has just spent 15 verses complaining about how the Jews just keep sinning, about how the people of Israel are just over and over again rebelling against God. And then he celebrates and he says, but God, in your mercy, over and over and over again, you forgive, like he does with us. We do not make requests of you because we are righteous. This is what Daniel's saying. This is Old Testament. But because of your great mercy. God's standard is perfection, and we will never be perfect, so he was perfect in our place. Heaven was exclusive, and so Jesus came to earth so it could be inclusive, so that he could include us. He actually came to earth to die on the cross, to wash us clean of our sins and make us holy and make us perfect, praise the Lord, so that we can offer to him a holy sacrifice of praise. Then we read Daniel's request. Lord, listen. Lord, forgive. Lord, hear and act. God, we ask for forgiveness. God, would you come and work in our lives, work in our weaknesses? We are going to do things in our lives that are going to cause us to need God's forgiveness. So we say, God, forgive, and thank you for loving anyway. We're going to transition now and do an extended time of worship. And while we do, I want you to have a conversation with God and ask something like what Daniel was asking in this prayer. Worship God and ask him to do something in your life, to move through you, to use your sacrifice of praise. Daniel says, for your sake, my God, do not delay, because your city and your people bear your name. I go through times in my life, sometimes when I know that God is teaching me, I'm not exactly sure what it is, either a bunch of hard things are happening in my life, or maybe I hear a message repeatedly from different people, and maybe it's just thoughts that keep coming to my mind, but over and over and over again, I just feel like God is teaching me something, and I've really had that feeling a lot lately. I think there's a lot of us here today who recognize that God is speaking, so I wanted to spend a service just listening. Worshiping, Sabbathing. When I'm in this place, and I've been praying this prayer a lot lately, I pray Samuel's prayer. Remember Samuel prayed, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. It's a prayer of surrender. It's a prayer of willingness. Lean into those moments. Run to God. Put yourself in a position to be grown by God. Speak, Lord. Move, Lord. Lead us, Lord. Speak, your servant. Listening. God, today I pray that as we sing to you, as we praise you, that you would inhabit the praises of your people. Thank you for your grace and love. Be here with us today in Jesus' name.